It was a vicious circle that war reparations sent spiraling out of control, and the economy went into meltdown as Germany defaulted on its payments of wood and coal towards the end of 1922, and 7,000 marks bought one U.S. dollar. However, that was nothing to the hyperinflation that occurred throughout 1923. In November that year, $1 was worth 4,210,500,000,000 marks. A glass of beer cost 150 billion marks, and a loaf of bread, 80 billion. With the country in danger of imploding, the situation was brought under control only with the help of American loans and a reduction in reparation payments. Amid the suffering, talk of warped space, bending light beams, and shifting stars that only 12 wise men could comprehend fired the public imagination. However, everyone thought they had an intuitive grasp of concepts like space and time. As a result, the world appeared to Einstein to be a curious madhouse, as every coachman and every waiter argues about whether or not relativity theory is correct. Einstein's international celebrity and his well-known anti-war stance made him an easy target for a campaign of hate. "Anti-Semitism is strong here and political reaction is violent," Einstein wrote to Ehrenfest in December 1919. Soon he began receiving threatening mail and on occasions suffered verbal abuse as he left his apartment or office. In February 1920, a group of students disrupted his lecture at the university, one of them shouting, "I'm going to cut the throat of that dirty Jew." But the political leaders of the Weimar Republic knew what an asset Einstein was, as its scientists faced exclusion from international conferences after the war. The Minister of Culture wrote to reassure him that Germany was and will forever be proud to count you, highly honored Herr Professor, among the finest ornaments of our science. Niels Bohr did as much as anyone to ensure that personal relations between scientists on opposing sides were restored as quickly as possible after the war. As a citizen of a neutral country, Bohr felt no resentment towards his German colleagues. He was among the first to extend an invitation to a German scientist when he asked Arnold Sommerfeld to lecture in Copenhagen. "We had long discussions on the general principle of the quantum theory and the application of all kinds of detailed atomic problems," Bohr said after Sommerfeld's visit. Excluded for the foreseeable future from international meetings, German scientists and their hosts knew the value of these personal invitations. So when he received one from Max Planck to give a lecture on the quantum atom and the theory of atomic spectra in Berlin, Bohr gladly accepted. When the date was fixed as Tuesday, 27th of April, 1920, he was excited at the prospect of meeting Planck and Einstein for the first time.